Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Your cold is coming! Your cold is coming! When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget on Wednesdays, our lunch partner, our friends over at Jefferson's. Congratulations to one of our listeners, by the way, taking home a $50 gift card. Each and every Wednesday, right around noon, we will obviously give you a chance to win a $50 gift card. But if you're looking for a place to watch some games, World Series continues tonight as well. Jefferson's, great daily specials, great happy hour. They got locations in Lenexa, North KC, Lawrence, Topeka, Joplin. Jefferson's Wings, Burgers, Oysters. Here in just a minute, we are going to be joined by Josh Klingler. The ghosts have destroyed our phones as well, so we're waiting. It's we've had a bad technical difficulty
weird
week.
I couldn't get my computer working for like 45 minutes, and I was shopping for new ones.
Cody was about ready to buy a laptop very quickly, but no, your computer's
off.
Fine. But yesterday we had the issues with the microphones and the
text
computer.
Line was weird.
Text line today. Now the phones. It's been an interesting week, man. It's been an interesting week. Someone says, is there another one of those, what was it, like the cloud outage that we had? Like, it was Amazon Web Service thing.
AWS.
If that was happening again, that might be the issue. Anyway, let's welcome in Josh Klingler, who will be on the sideline in Buffalo Sunday afternoon for the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll hear him right here on 96.5 The Fan. We were talking during the random question of the day, Kling, about Halloween. Now, your kids are both out of the house now, right? Or at least at college at this point. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you even mess with Halloween anymore?
Well, we discussed it, and yeah, I thought, well, we're going to be home Friday. I don't want to like sit in the house and like not have the light on. So we're going to pass out candy, but we'll see. I bought extra just so I'd have some to eat. So
what's the
hoping it pays off.
What's the busyness? You sound not excited about it at all. What's the busyness level of your neighborhood trick-or-treating wise? I feel like it's all gone down since trunk-or-treating existed.
Yeah, it really has. It's like really hit and miss. Like, there was one year I know, like, my daughter and her friends were like, we're just gonna stay here and hand out candy, and they were so excited. It was like a couple of years ago, and they were like, this was so boring, like no kids came by. And it was really kind of slow. So we'll see. If not, I don't mind eating leftover candy. I think that's right in my wheelhouse.
Kling, what do you make about the signing the Chiefs are going to make of Mike Pinnell? Look, I know that they haven't made it official. Blair Kirchhoff a minute ago said, no word from the Chiefs on Mike Pinnell, but his jersey is hanging with gear in the locker room. So I'm going to take that as a sign as Mike Pinnell is a Chief, and it's not just happenstance. He came to visit a day after getting cut. How much do they need kind of just defensive line depth? What do you think he adds to the team?
Well, I mean, I think he adds familiarity. I mean, look, they wanted him to be a part of the team at the end of training camp, and I think he kind of ran into that veteran that you could manipulate in terms of contract, and, you know, wanted to bring him back to the practice squad and probably do the elevation every week kind of thing. And for whatever reason, that didn't work out, and he kind of went and did the same thing in Cincinnati. And so I think he gets the drill, right? So he's going to come here. He's going to play limited amount of snaps, but has a definitive role every time he's been here and has come up with some big plays in short bursts. So it feels like the, you know, the familiarity aspect, which is big for the Chiefs. I think if they're not familiar with you, if we've seen this over and over and over again, it's hard to create a role for you. I don't know whether it's just what they do being a little more difficult or their unwillingness. I don't know where that line is, but clearly if you come in, you know, mid-season, they're going to have a hard time finding a main role for you, right? So might as well bring a guy back that has familiarity, that's had some success in your defense before.
The other roster part to keep an eye on as well, other than Josh Simmons, is the injury to Isaiah Pacheco, where
right.
It sure feels like he's not going to play on Sunday, and they might use the bye week to get make sure that knee is right for him. What do you think that does for the backfield, not only with, you know, Elijah Mitchell, who's been inactive, but I like the role they have Kareem Hunt right now. You know, he's very effective in short yards. I'm a little concerned if they try to ask him to do more, does that have a trickle-down effect that hurts everything else that's been working right?
Well, would we have a problem if they asked Rashard Smith to do more?
I hope so. I hope that's what happens.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would maybe envision, you can't keep Kareem Hunt in his same role, but do you ask him to do an extra drive, you know, and then you mm-hmm. use more Rashard Smith? I think that's probably a possibility. You know, can you even imagine Elijah Mitchell factoring in the situation at this point in time? I would say no. He's been inactive every week. Is it two back this week and try to get by? Maybe. But yeah, I'd like to see that scenario where you add a little bit more to Kareem Hunt and then you add maybe a bunch more for Rashard Smith for a week and see how it goes. You know, Pacheco was lobbying to go back in the other day, guys. Like he was on the medical table. They checked out the knee. They gave him the thumbs up. He kind of jumped up and grabbed the helmet and was lobbying, you know, Coach Reed to go back in. And I think they kind of said, you know, the game's out of reach. Let's back you off. And he kind of said, yeah, okay. And then I saw him in the locker room and he didn't look down or anything like, you know, this is going to be anything, but obviously, you know, maybe further medical tests or the next morning, it felt a little bit different. And now maybe it's a week-to-week thing. So certainly didn't look at all that serious at the time, and he didn't treat it as such. So hopefully it's shorter rather than longer. But, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world to give him a breather. You want those two guys as fresh as possible later on in the season, not, you know, end of October.
I think one of the other ways they can do it, Kling, and it's not being discussed quite as much, as they'll just hand the ball off to Worthy or Rashee Rice.
Rashee Rice is a massive part of, and you know, they've shown a little bit of that. And I think that you're just scratching the surface of what he can do too. So yeah, I think they almost would probably scheme around it. Not to say you wouldn't activate another running back, but you'd maybe just have an emergency extra running back and scheme around it for a week.
How do you feel about this matchup versus the Bills versus previous years? I feel like this is one of the more confident I've been going into it. I know that doesn't make sense based on record, and it's not that the Bills are a bad team. They just don't feel as scary or as dominant as they've been in previous years, and it might just be because the Chiefs, Kling, are playing excellent football right now and blowing opponents out. Where are you with this matchup on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think the Bills look a little susceptible. Certainly, I mean, they're going back to the well defensively too, right?
Like, yeah, grabbing, they just lost defensive lineman.
Former players to come back. The Ed Oliver injury is a big one for them, you know, and their ability to get after the quarterback a little bit. I don't know how good they are in the secondary. So I think defensively they look like they're, you know, not quite maybe as imposing as they've been in other years. You still have Josh Allen and James Cook to think about. That's still a handful matchup, I think, for the Chiefs defense. But I'm with you. I'm probably more confident in this one than I have been in other matchups, because it just feels like the Chiefs are, you know, pick your poison. How are you going to defend this team, right? They seemingly, you did the one thing you could do to them, and that was get them to turn the football over, but you didn't score points on it last week. And then at halftime, they decided to, you know, put fuel in the engine and blow you away. So offensively, they look like they just have too many things to try to slow down. And then what can you say about the defense? It's just slammed the door on people the last, since the Jacksonville game, right? And seemingly have kind of turned the corner and said, we're not doing this anymore. And so, yeah, I'm really confident heading into this one. Maybe that's a bad thing, being so confident heading into this matchup. But the Chiefs also need this game, too. I mean, you guys have been talking about it. This next stretch of games is pretty huge if you're thinking about, well, one, you got to win the division, right? I you know, don't put yourself in a position to have to still get a playoff spot. Go win the division. So you got some things to do before you can get to that point. And this next stretch of games will probably go a long way to determining, you know, how much you're scrambling at the end.
Kling, like a lot of us in Kansas City, you've covered the entire Andy Reid era. He can say all he wants a couple of weeks ago that they're always this aggressive. They aren't, and they are now. And we have been, I think, all as a community advocating for it for years. What do you make of the new look Andy Reid in the aggressiveness department?
Well, I like the fact that there's almost no question. Like, I stand, obviously, on the sidelines. Usually the special teams guys are warming up behind me. So it's the specialists, right? Winchester and Ariza and Butker are all warming up behind me. And, you know, a lot of times they'll be, you know, kind of almost jumping in front of me, ready to go in, right? And now there's like, well, the offense is out there and Pat's calling for a play. So, like, we'll just hang back. I thought for sure they were kicking a field goal the other day.
On the fourth and three one, that was the one I was like, I couldn't believe you went for it. I can't remember another time Andy went for a play like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's like 95% he's putting the points on the board and kicking the field goal. So it's seemingly like a change of identity. The willingness, well, they've had success doing it too, right? And it's not just short yardage. They can kind of do whatever. I just think there's just so much confidence in this offense. And then I think backed up by the confidence in the defense, like, okay, if you put the defense in a spot, well, is it the worst thing in the world? You're putting them in a spot at the 3 yard line defensively? No, probably not. So why not roll the dice a few more times? But I think it's their lack of indecision on it. They're just going and not, you know, taking the time and maybe letting the clock run down and taking a timeout and deciding whether or not you're going to do it. It's been kind of, from what I've seen operationally, we're going right now, and here's the play. Let's go.
We're talking to Josh Klingler here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him on the Chiefs radio network here on The Fan Sunday afternoon when the Chiefs take on the Buffalo Bills. He joins us each and every Wednesday here on Cody and Gold. The trade deadline will happen before we talk to you again. Do you think we're going to be sitting here after Tuesday at 3 o'clock that the Chiefs make a move or two?
I mean, who's available? I mean, I think it really largely depends on who's available. I still think defensive line, you could try to find something that would make sense at either end or tackle and try to boost that spot. I don't know where else you're really looking. I still don't think running back, you know, has not made sense to me for several weeks based on the way they use their current running backs. Now, would you like there to be a more dynamic look in that regard? Maybe eventually, yes. But for this season, I feel like they're set at that spot. So to me, unless there's some other weird, you know, injury they need to cover for, I guess I would still be looking at defensive line and probably defensive line only. I don't know if you get any takers for some of the stuff they have to maybe acquire, you know, draft picks. I don't know how viable any of that is. But, you know, I would say defensive line, and that's probably about all you'd need to be looking at this point.
I gotta say, I feel like there's a chance, or at least a decent chance, that somebody comes calling about their corners. Like, they have healthy scratches from Christian Fulton, who was a target of a bunch of teams in the NFL. Joshua Williams' name has come up before. Like, Kling, I think it might be they ship one defensive lineman out, but I think there's a chance one corner leaves.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get a taker, I think you're all for it. I've always been in the camp of you can never have too many corners, and when you think you have enough, then you run into problems. So I'm always like, I'm all in favor of stockpiling corners, but it'd usually be like younger corners, right? Plus they have like the Kevin Knowles kid that's been brought up a couple times, and they seemingly like him. He plays on special teams as well. So it does feel like that they're in a spot of being able to move from that. If you're talking about those two specific guys that are, you know, don't really have a role in Fulton, albeit they like Williams on special teams, but he doesn't have as much of a role defensively. So something like that, if a team came calling, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you listen?
I guess from the next three-game perspective, obviously no one's going to have a more difficult three-game stretch at Buffalo, at Denver, at home versus the current AFC leaders, Indianapolis. Rank those games in importance for the Chiefs. What do you think is the most and least important?
I think at this stage, Denver is probably the most important.
I agree.
Secondarily, Buffalo from like a fan talk psyche perspective.
Yeah, right? Sure.
Like Buffalo's still the rival. Whoever else is rising in the AFC, we all expect Buffalo will be a team you have to contend with in the postseason. And then probably the Colts after that. And that's no disrespect to what they're doing. You know, are they for real? I don't know. I just look at the quarterback matchup. Like, come on. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we still look at quarterback matchups, right?
Yep.
And you can't tell me that's anywhere close to the same stratosphere when that game comes up. Granted, they do some other things you're going to have to contend with in the run game, obviously. But, you know, you still get coach quarterback, and you're like, come on, is that? So that's number three for me. Maybe in a couple weeks when it's the biggest game in the NFL, we'll have a different answer. But for now, it's probably Denver the most important because you got to chase down the division. You can't let them out too far. And then Buffalo for the mental aspect.
Josh Klingler, appreciate it, man. We'll be listening Sunday afternoon right here on The Fan.
I was also told no snow in Buffalo, so I'm all about it.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, we thought it said like 50 degrees, which is not bad.
Yeah, I'll take it.
There you go. Kling will be on the sideline there for what maybe is the last time in that stadium. We'll see if the Chiefs have to go back there in the playoffs, but otherwise
it's either the last or the second to last time, yeah.
So it wouldn't be bad if, you know, if the Chiefs want to get one, maybe have to get two. Hopefully they only have to get one wins in Buffalo before they move to a different stadium. That I still think, like, look, I want the Chiefs to be at home in the playoffs, but if you told me somehow it worked out seating wise where the Chiefs had to go to Buffalo, an AFC title game, and the last game in their building is a win for the Chiefs to end out that building and to once again prevent them from going to Super Bowl. That would be that again. That's the spoiled thing. I'll take whatever path
it
takes.
Yeah, that's the movie ending for sure. Mm-hmm. I will say it's like that seems like an unlikely scenario. I did hear Patrick Mahomes. Did you hear him in the thing earlier? He said he likes to go to historic football stadiums. Did make me for a second be like, hey, Arrowhead, this where we at stadium?
He said he likes to go to.
Not just like living.
I'm just kidding. He was asked about Buffalo in particular.
He was.
Know, but he said he likes to go like to historic stadiums. Well, he said he liked, that's specifically what he said.
I think the question was originally around, you know, going to Buffalo. You've had a lot of success going there. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh yeah, you know, I like going to historic stadiums. They don't like us as
Bills fans.
That was
a great one. He's like, they do not like us. We show up and they are mad. Well, I mean, they shouldn't like you.
Honestly, Bills fans are some of the worst. And I think we should have documented this a little bit more between the throwing the snowballs at Pat to trying to grab Lamar Jackson earlier in the season. Like, guys, calm down and just stick to what you do. Jumping on the tables and just keep your hands to yourself.
I will say, I always try to think about it from like a different fan base perspective. Because my initial instinct when somebody happened to share a video of a Bills fan putting like their newborn baby through like a cardboard table they had built that said Bills, right? So like, and then I was like, I don't know, man. If the Chiefs fans had that tradition, I know some Chiefs fans would be putting their baby through a cardboard table. So like, you know.
Sure, of course.
Like, so I shouldn't pretend that that's where my issue is. But you're right. Mostly it's like behave in the stands. That's usually my thing. Don't throw snowballs.
Or
don't
bottles.
Don't try to attack.
Or
bottles. Yeah. Yeah, be smart about at least that. I mentioned the thing that we had talked about with him earlier in the show, the aggressiveness from Andy Reid. That fourth down and third, I swear. And I look, it's not like I've gone through every play of Andy Reid's career. I've watched every game Andy Reid has coached in Kansas City. I cannot think of a single instance, unless it was the fourth quarter in a must-go-for-it situation, that Andy Reid went for a fourth and three for the touchdown there instead of kicking the field goal in the entire time he's been the coach here. That points to a different level of aggressiveness. Before we even talk about the fact that they're good at it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I just like that they're great at it. I just like that they're going for it in general. It just turns out, in addition to that goal, they're awesome.
Yeah, I love it. And by the way, you love it even more because it's working. But also, you could tell me on Sunday the Chiefs go for two fourth downs in a row and they miss it. It still is the correct decision. And I like it, you know, in the exact example we're giving, right? This is what we've been asking for years. The Chiefs have 10 fourth down conversions already. No team since at least 2000 has had that many conversions in the first 8 weeks.
What's crazy about that is like not even the Lions when they were just going for like a billion in a row.
Okay, but nope, not in the first 8 weeks or eight games. The Eagles, 9 in 2024 and 9 in 2022. So that's a team that has the tush push. The Chiefs aren't doing any QB sneaks, let alone a tush push. Kareem Hunt's been effective in short yardage. And then if it's not the handoff to Kareem Hunt, it's the quick bootleg action, You know, it's almost like what do you call it? Not jet ship wasp. Oh my gosh, what's the? It's almost corn.
Corn dog. Yeah.
You know.
Look, the thing that stands out to me is I've just never. I don't know. What I want to know is what changed for Andy. My thought is that it was the Jags game. They were up 14-0. It pushed them in a really difficult spot schedule wise. Difficult spot for the division. Crazy hard spot for the one seed. He's like, all right, that's it. No more. I'm not letting these teams back in it. We're burying teams now. Like the Washington one, that 4th-and-3 was about burying a team, not about like trying to play keep away, which they do a lot, or trying to keep them at arm's length, mm-hmm. which they've done a lot in the last couple of years. Something changed. We have a massive amount of historical data to point out that Andy Reid is one of the least aggressive coaches on 4th down in kicking situations. And a lot of people are just saying, some of this is about their lack of confidence in Harrison Butker.
I think it's all part of the equation.
It might be a part of it.
Yeah, I think it's a small piece of the pie. I disagree with this text from someone says, part of the reason why that stat you guys bring up is it means the Chiefs are not getting where they need to go on downs 1 through 3. Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but yeah, I would also like an offense that never gets 4th downs and just scores on every single drive without having to convert a 4th down conversion.
And just complete the first down.
I don't know how realistic that is. I mean, if we're saying like, well, it's because they have to go for so many 4th. No, that would be the bad teams. That'd be like when we looked up earlier, the Jets are going for more attempts. Yeah, and that's it. The Chiefs are top 10 in the league in 4th down attempts, in fairness. But typically that's a bad, if you look at the other teams, usually that is bad teams like having to go for, the Chiefs are going for 4th because they frankly are as power they can.
I think though and flip it into the reason they're able to go for that many is because it's 4th and 1, yeah. 4th and 2, and not 4th and 6 or 7 or 8.
That's what the Eagles did for years. I don't know why we can't
get not 4th and 5.
If it's 3rd and 2 and you know you are a team that goes for it now, the risk you can take on 3rd and 2 mm-hmm. becomes exponential. You can send the ball down the field on a jump ball situation. You can throw a back shoulder. You can run a more.
You can run on a 3rd and 5.
You can run plays where all the routes. Yeah, you can run on a 3rd and 5. If you know you're going to go for it, you sometimes handle, and a lot of the good teams who go for it do, you handle it in a way that allows you the ability that you're like, oh, screw it. I'm going to go for a 4th or 1 or 2 anyway. I'll try to get the first. It's not, I'm trying to not get it on 3rd, but I know I got 4 downs to get it, so I don't care.
And this, we maybe we can get into this deeper tomorrow, but Ben Baldwin, you know, who we've referenced on the show before, the Twitter account that does a good job putting out some of these cool graphs and things like that. Not to get too nerdy with it, but basically he had one today, which was how often teams avoid doing what he called the dumb thing, but basically calling a run play on 2nd and long, you know, because that's always annoying. It's like it's 2nd and 13, and you're like, what are you doing? Well, not this year. He doesn't see this is the thing. How often teams avoid it?
Just took a huge shift this year.
Everything shifted. The only teams that avoid the 2nd and long run more than the Chiefs, the Chargers and the Colts. The Chiefs do it the third least, or the second, yeah, the third least in the NFL. The team that does it the most runs on 2nd and long.
Cincinnati?
No. I
would say that's not a surprise.
No, the Jets, the Lions, the Jags, the Texans,
Lions,
the Titans, the Raiders, the Browns, the Giants. Typically, all crappy teams. The Lions are the one that makes most sense.
Well, that's the only oddball. But when you got running backs like them, maybe you can do
and
it.
And O-line.
By the way, Mike Pinnell's agent has officially tweeted out that he signed with the team.
Well,
I am now looking at a photo from Arlaya Campbell of Mike Pinnell in a Chiefs jersey at practice today.
They're going to send out a tweet after practice.
Is there some reason why Andy couldn't say that Mike Pinnell was with the team? The man's at practice.
He said he was locked into the game plan. You know, he was locked
in.
In
a jersey.
They will send out a photo with he's back, Mike's back here very, very soon, but it is pretty fun.
That man's in a jersey. Like Mike Pinnell back with the Chiefs. It's honestly, it is, I'm not claiming this to be some home run signing. It's a perfect signing. They needed interior defensive line help, specifically in the run stopping department.
It's what they do.
I just described Mike Pinnell's entire career.
It's what the Chiefs do. Mecole Hardman, Mike Pinnell.
Oh, they love guys.
I mean you can run down the list.
And of course, in hindsight, they should probably never have let Mike Pinnell go. Let's be real, right?
Sure.
But at least this time, they did not have to give up a draft pick to get that player back, like they did for Derek Nottie, who has not had a great 2025.
The Bengals should have held him hostage. You mean like you want him back? You know, you got to give us one.
But again, what were you going to get? It's weird. He's a role player. Like you weren't going to get anything. Like everybody's excited. Everybody's excited. Mike Pinnell's back because he's a good dude. Locker room likes him. He's effective in his limited role and all that. But you're not, you know, in the world of draft value, it's, you know, you're conditional 7th. Like,
yes.
You know. He's got to be feeling a lot better. Joe Flacco's now super doubtful for Sunday.
I saw that. Well, Jake Browning's good to go if that's the case.
At the very least, the Bengals could have gotten a conditional seventh that they can mess up to. You know, they go just give them something.
Yeah. More shots, man, means more chances to actually find good players.
But the problem is, Cody, they can't. Historically, they can't.
They also spend less resources in it. They're bad at it because they don't spend the money to
exactly.
do it.
Exactly.
We don't need to get into a deeper conversation, but like we've essentially hinted at it. Like, they are historically not a well-run franchise. I mean, that's just the facts.
I know. So it's like he was there to just get secrets. They're very good enough to get secrets from you.
You know, obviously, what has changed for them in recent history is they have Joe Burrow. When he's on the field, he's awesome. Like, that's what's changed. Oh, they're the same organization other than that.
Yeah. It's got Joe Burrow, so they mattered more.
And obviously, Jamar Chase is incredible.
I would take Marvin Lewis back in a heartbeat.
You know, would you?
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Wow, that's how down you are right now on Zach Taylor and everything.
Without Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin is Marvin Lewis. Okay. We talk about how great Mike Tomlin is. I think Marvin Lewis, yeah. Anyways.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. And then earlier today, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joined us. We asked him about that aggressiveness. We also discussed a little bit about Daniel Jones and what is he seeing from him and the belief in him.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature. Where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Moving forward.
What's trending?
What's trending is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on What's Trending, we heard from Andy Reid around noon today, 11:45 noon, and that was that Trey Smith will be practicing today. So hopefully he can follow it up with a practice tomorrow. Remember, he missed last week with lower back injury, back spasms.
So he's going to give it a whirl.
Yeah,
Andy put
so
it.
Good sign. Hopefully that goes well. Hollywood Brown not practicing today. He's sick. And then, obviously, Josh Simmons not there. Mike Pinnell is. Mike Pinnell, according to his agent, has signed with the Chiefs, and also according to his presence at practice, he's signed with the Chiefs.
Of course, Nate Taylor sent out a clip of him and Chris Jones immediately goofing around together. You might remember a couple of weeks ago, Chris Jones had said they got to get their guy Mike Pinnell back.
And he
mission accomplished, Chris Jones. Mission accomplished. Next up on What's Trending, World Series Game 4 was last night. Series tied up at 2-2 apiece. Shohei Ohtani got roughed up for 4 runs. It was really a tough sixth inning that got him in trouble. And a 2-run Vladdy homer earlier in the game that was eventually their undoing. We got a real series there in Toronto. Obviously, one more game in LA, and then 2 more games heading back to Toronto. We're getting to at least Game 6 of the World Series, no matter what. They did pitch to Shohei Ohtani last night, which I wasn't sure they were going to do. It was a good game up until that sixth inning. It was tight. Obviously, the Dodgers coming up short, but good series so far.
Aiden Hutchinson, defensive lineman for the Lions, signing a 4-year, $180 million deal, $140 million of which is fully guaranteed. He's coming off an ACL injury. He's already off to a very nice start here in 2025, and so they lock up one of the better defensive linemen in the NFL.
According to reports, a couple of moves around the NFL. Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco's availability for Sunday is in doubt due to an AC joint shoulder injury. That according to Zach Taylor. Obviously, Jake Browning would start if Joe Flacco is unable to go. He's done a really good job in there. Man, I saw the stats. Targets in the month of October. Ja'Marr Chase has like 68 targets in the month of October. The next closest is Ladd McConkey at 41. So if you were just curious, the target share that is currently happening in Cincinnati, it's a bit one-sided. Also, the Denver Broncos are signing 41-year-old tight end Mercedes Lewis to the practice squad. I want to remind you, he was in the same draft as Maurice Jones-Drew. So they like him for a blocking tight end. They just had issues with their tight ends. The Evan Engram signing hasn't even gone quite to the way they wanted it so far.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Earlier today, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, joined us. We started our conversation asking him about that Aiden Hutchinson contract. And, you know, George Karloftis got his deal. We were looking at the value of it and even some of the pacing stats that might surprise you. Not as far off from one another, at least through 8 weeks of the season. And yeah, I'm not saying that George Karloftis is going to be a defensive player of the year like Aiden Hutchinson might be, but it was kind of interesting. And that's how we started our conversation.
Yeah, and I can't believe you're saying Karloftis is better than Hutchinson.
We're just saying that some of the stats this year are comparable.
I love that you said that because I joked exactly about that with Cody during the break. I said, we're going to have this discussion later, and I'm going to say that, and immediately someone's going to text into the show and say, so you're saying he's better than Aiden Hutchinson, so thank you for giving me a preview of the text line.
You know, I'm a huge Karloftis guy. Huge Karloftis guy. And they actually do have some similarities in the sense that I think that they are very good athletes. I don't think that they are elite athletes. I don't think they are, you know, Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons in terms of get off and ability to bend. What I love about those guys is they're so good with their hands. They rush with a lot of power and just absolutely relentless. And so I think that's something that anybody can appreciate. And by the way, so is Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. Those guys are not stopped too. But it really jumped out when you watch. Even like Monday night, the one play in the run game where Karloftis slanted inside and then he redirected to be able to chase down a run to the outside. I've always appreciated that game. I think I probably told you guys before, I called Karloftis' game in the U.S. Army Bowl when he was still in high school and had a chance to talk to him then. So it's kind of cool just to, you know, meet a kid in high school and now he's in whatever he is in the NFL and playing at a high level. I thought that was, refresh my memory, he was a pretty late first-round pick, right?
Yeah, he was in the 30s, 31, or maybe it was like in the high 20s or low 20s because they traded up. It was that same year as that Trent McDuffie
deal, 28. Excellent pick by Veach at that spot. To get a guy like him at that spot, that is awesome. Hutchinson, you know, after that serious injury last year, I didn't think it made sense to do the deal before the season, really for either party, but he's come out and been awesome. And so because of that, I think that they wanted to reward him now, realizing it's probably only just going to go up.
You had mentioned Myles Garrett. Since you're a former player, I'll ask you real quick because it's interesting to talk about on the show. He's got the 5 sacks on Sunday. He was a dominant player. His team is miserable. They got blown out anyway. I find myself not feeling bad for Myles Garrett at all. He didn't have to sign with the Browns. He knew what he was getting in for. That's been the worst franchise in football the last 30 years. I don't feel bad for great players being on bad teams if they made the choice.
Well, that's exactly right, because he did make the choice multiple times. So, yes, he was at one point, you know, picked by them, number one overall, but he signed multiple contracts there. The other thing is, as bad as the Browns are now, okay, I mean, they did win a playoff game in 2020, and they were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
So it's not like, I mean, there have been other organizations that have been worse than that or down worse. I mean, he's made the playoffs 2 out of the last 5 years. That, you know, cry me a river. I mean, I played with Taquio Spikes, one of the best players I ever played with. Taquio played 15 years, never made the playoffs one time. And he ended up playing on some good teams. Like, he was on the Eagles the 1 year they didn't make the playoffs. He was on with us in Buffalo 2004, which was supposedly one of the best teams to never make the playoffs, according to the statistics. So, I have no sympathy whatsoever for Myles Garrett. However, I will say I am incredibly impressed by guys like him. You know, some of the guys I think are most impressive in the NFL would be like a Myles Garrett, a Max Crosby, Jeffrey Simmons. These guys that are on clearly bad teams that are not going anywhere and haven't for a few years, and they are double teamed often, and yet they lace it up every single week and bring it. That I got a lot of respect for those guys.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider here on 96.5 The Fan. For multiple weeks now, we've been asking you about this offense who clearly looks like they're back. And the other element of it now is this fourth down aggressiveness that we really haven't seen from Andy Reid before, even with Patrick Mahomes. We were just discussing it to start our show today that Andy Reid has kind of figured out that he has a cheat code, which is make a defense stop you 4 times when you have Patrick Mahomes and all these weapons. And the Chiefs have converted, 10 fourth downs so far this year, which is the most through 8 games since at least 2000.
I guess the one question would be to Andy, like, what took you so long?
I know. We've been asking for years, but you know what? I'm just going to be happy about it.
Yeah, no. I mean, the reality is, though, there's a lot of underlying statistics and metrics that will tell you that it is advantageous to go for it in a lot of these fourth down situations. What's interesting is that those numbers are primarily based upon, like, the average across the league. Well, when you have Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but especially Mahomes, you are way above the average. So they should actually be way more likely to go for it on those downs, on those situations, because their percentage will clearly be higher than the other teams that they're going against.
When you look at, like, I guess, Travis, you mentioned his season. He has statistically been good as any tight end in the league. You know, Tyler Warren's been talked about everywhere. He has as many yards, as many touchdowns, as many catches as a guy like that. Has his season nationally been a little undersold, considering the fact that he's doing it at his age?
I think it probably has. I mean, and like we've been saying for a couple years now, Travis Kelce just doesn't get enough attention. You know, he just doesn't get enough.
Yeah. That's only getting worse, you know.
He's really gone under the radar these last couple of years. I forgot he played for the Chiefs. No, I mean, it is kind of funny that maybe some of the other stuff has overshadowed what he's doing. I'll tell you this much. I don't know if you guys have, like, the GPS stats or whatever, and maybe, you know, you can pull them up. I thought when they kept him in for pass pro, and then he leaked out and was a late check down for Patrick on the one, I thought he was looking pretty darn fast running down the sideline. I was like, man, I mean, they had told me, I would say well-placed sources had told me that, Travis was running as fast as he had in a while and that, the GPS numbers backed that up. And, man, that was clearly the case in, I thought, on that one catch against the Commanders. I mean, I don't know if he's lost weight or if he just the training, but he looked faster to me than he has in a while.
100% with you. Yeah, that was, I think at one point in the offseason, there was a report he had lost like 20-something pounds, and he talked about it, and he's like, it was not quite 20 pounds, but he definitely lost some weight in the offseason, and it's obviously paying off for him so far in 2025. Ross, the Chiefs get the Bills again. We've had you on for years. We've been doing this whole thing for years now with Chiefs-Bills like seemingly twice a year, and this go-around, I wonder if you've talked to anybody in Buffalo yet about this game, because, and we're going to have some guests on later in the week, where the Bills have won these regular season matchups at a decent clip, but we all know they haven't won in the postseason. We know it's Super Bowl or bust for them. It's Super Bowl or bust in Kansas City. I wonder, have Bills fans, you think at this point in time, recognize that like this game on Sunday, it matters for divisional and one seed, but they have to know at this point, like beat the Chiefs on Sunday, it really doesn't mean anything.
Well, you are in luck because I go on in Buffalo every Tuesday afternoon. So
all right.
I already know what they think. Number one, there's some consternation right now because even though the Bills beat the Panthers by a lot, they haven't really looked as good in the passing game or maybe on defense over the last month or so. And now they lost their best defensive lineman, Ed Oliver, likely for the season. So there's some consternation there. And then you add to that the Chiefs offense looking better than it has in a really long time. And now you've got a concerned fan base. It's funny because you're either a glass half full or a glass half empty person. And so, if the Bills beat the Chiefs, you can look at it and say, love it. We needed to prove that. All those things. If you lose, certainly there's going to be Bills fans, the positive ones, that'll say, hey, that just gives us a better chance to actually beat them in the playoffs, which I don't know if that's true or not, but it does feel, I know you guys have the numbers. I know the Bills have never beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs. My recollection is that the Chiefs have only beaten the Bills one time in the regular season.
Correct.
I might be wrong. So I don't know. I kind of almost the point now where I feel like, I mean, I know somebody's recording these segments somewhere, and we should just replay it every year, WGR in Buffalo, 5 p.m. on Tuesday of Chiefs week, and 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 10:30 Central on Wednesday of Bills week in Kansas City, because the conversation is seemingly very, very similar. And I feel like that's rare in the NFL to have this long of an extended rivalry, extended series. I mean, you can probably count them on one hand. I mean, what other, on some level, it takes me back to like Steve Young, Troy Aikman, but were they playing each other in the regular season every year? Certainly Brady and Manning in when I was playing in the 2000s. That one is the most similar, but feels like these guys, from a pure number of games and time situation, might end up being the longest.
It's starting to feel more like an NBA one, Ross. It's more like Magic and Bird, like where we just see them up against each other so often that you can't ignore the fact. And they do seemingly both play big time games against each other. That's the part that always stands out against me. You usually get their best on the Bills defensive end. I do want to ask, they were kind of mediocre anyway. How much worse are they without Ed Oliver in your mind?
Well, he's by far their best D tackle now. They did get a couple guys off suspension, Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt. And Hoyt was all over the place on Sunday. I mean, he had a sack and a half. He looked awesome. So maybe he can provide the spark that they need. I think they're holding out hope that Oliver can play in the playoffs. It's interesting. I'm with you on Bird and Magic. I think it's more of the Brady Manning thing.
Sure.
Because it's been so one-sided in the postseason. And, finally, Peyton Manning in 06, you know, was able to break through. And I feel like, you know, I thought maybe that was the case with Josh Allen and the Bills last year. It didn't happen. Maybe this year will be the case.
Speaking of other quarterbacks in the league, what do you make of, let's take the team out of it for a minute. When you watch Daniel Jones play, what do you make about his play individually? Chiefs got him in a couple of weeks. We'll talk to you more about them then, but we kept waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm done there. I believe in the Colts. I think they're a very good team, but specifically his play, what is Daniel Jones doing so well?
Well, you know, he's really just operating the offense. You know what he reminds me of and they remind me of? He reminds me a lot right now of Jared Goff and the Lions a couple years ago. Remember, you know, the first year for Dan Campbell and Jared Goff, it really wasn't that great. And then the second year they got off to like a slow start, and all of a sudden it's like, holy cow, the Lions, like, they can't really be this good, right? And you kept saying that, Next thing you know, they're just that good, and they're in, you know, the NFC Championship game against the Niners, you know, a couple years ago. That's what the Colts feel like to me. People aren't going to really buy in until they play some tougher opponents and, you know, see if they have postseason success. But Jones is playing like Goff and kind of like Goff. They probably have the best O-line in the league. They definitely this year have the best running back in the league. You know, they are really operating on all cylinders right now, and they have by far the best point differential in the NFL. Interestingly, the Chiefs with three losses are second.
Yeah. Some of the numbers around the Chiefs are kind of staggering to see. There's some that are expected, and then there's some other ones that I think surprised quite a few people looking at based off their record and where they're at. Now, where are you headed this week? Are you going to Miami tomorrow or what?
You know, interestingly, no. I actually this week have a CBS doubleheader, which I've never done before. Saturday, I've got Army at Air Force at noon Eastern, 11 o'clock for you guys. Actually, 10 o'clock Mountain Time, which is that's going to be the earliest the game has started in college football.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock out in Colorado Springs. And I love those games for all the reasons. Everybody should love those games. And then I think there's one flight from Denver to Nashville. I'll be on it because I've got your L.A. Chargers against the Titans on Sunday. So actually it'll be back-to-back weeks where I'm seeing the Chargers who, you know, they've done some impressive things. I mean, you know, obviously they beat the Chiefs in the opener. It's unfortunate how many injuries they've suffered, and I think they're in the same boat as every other year where people won't really believe they'll win a playoff game until they win a playoff game.
Right.
But Herbert is, he's like, I think you could argue Herbert and Josh Allen are like the two quarterbacks that are most built in a lab. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen Herbert up close. He's like 6'6", 235. He's legitimately fast, runs a 4.6. He's got a great arm. I mean, he's all of the things that you could put into a computer program, and then he's going to have to show it in the playoffs that he's got the ability to elevate a team there. Although I would also say I'm not sure he's had necessarily, you know, great teams around him in those games. And I don't know if he does this year either.
I feel like Gatson's been the biggest surprise for me on the Chargers end. I was like, they had him on the bench for 3 weeks and then just decided or realized he was a really good player?
Well, I mean, he's a rookie, fifth-round pick, and I think – you know, watching him, Cody, like preparing for this game, boy, he struggles as a blocker. Not only physically, but it looks to me like he's making a mental error or two at least every game. So he probably did that in training camp in the preseason. They probably were real hesitant to put him out there. But then he's just such a good route runner and such a mismatch at that position that they just kind of had to. And, you know, they had some injuries or whatever. And now it's like, oh, man, we got to use him out there. And they can't only have him out there to throw it to him. So he's got to be out there for some runs. But I think that's why – I think he's like 235 pounds. I think that's why he didn't go to the fifth round and probably why he didn't play the first couple weeks.
So that was Ross Tucker earlier today with us, our Odyssey NFL insider at the end there talking about Aronde Gadsden, a very talented young tight end for the Los Angeles Chargers, who the Chiefs really didn't see in week one. He wasn't playing at that point in time, but has become a huge part of their offensive scheme and is – looks like he's kind of changed their offense for the good in their case.
Yep.
It's been very impressive as well.
No, it's been an interesting year in the AFC because if you still look at the standings, man, none of it makes any sense. And the Chiefs have the toughest three-game stretch maybe anyone's going to have based on the current records of the NFL team, so we'll see. Two road games, two teams with just two losses, and the Colts to wrap it up, so be interesting.
Coming up tomorrow, we're back at it, 10 to 2. Dane and Hughes will join us. We'll have a little all 32. We'll find out what lesson Professor Tapp has in store for
us. Oh, I have a lesson.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I have a lesson planned.
That makes it sound like it's like a very important lesson the way that you're
it
saying
it. It's a life lesson.
Oh, boy. Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, we'll find out together. Talk to you guys then.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming. When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no, not before my big trip.
The big trip you've been planning is coming up, and so is your cold. But Zicam can shorten your cold and get you back to planning sooner.
Thanks, Revere.
We really should keep Zicam in the house.
Shorten your cold with Zicam.
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
In the UEFA Champions League, every moment is a story.
Paris Saint-Germain have won the Champions League.
And every great story needs an audience. Feel every match.
Mbappe in the middle.
Every goal.
Oh, would you believe this?
From the best clubs.
Real Madrid strike.
And the biggest stars.
Bukayo Saka scores.
This is the world's best soccer.
Momentous and iconic.
The UEFA Champions League. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.